If you had been the only person in the entire world, Jesus Christ would have still given his life for you.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Friday of the second full week of Lent.
And it's a joy for us to be able to serve you this way. And today I want to say a special thank you to special people out there, our Patreon team who supports us on a financial basis every month. You guys allow us to do what we are doing. We can't do this without you. And it's just a big thank you from us to you. Thank you so much for supporting us, sponsoring this series and all our videos. We're very grateful for you. So
I was actually thinking, you know, it's more than just the equipment that we use. Really, it helps us live. It really does. So thank you so much for your generosity. And for those of you who are praying for us, who are just, you know, being present online with us, we are grateful for all of that.
It's such a humbling thing to be able to serve this way. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Today, we're getting serious. It's Friday, so we're going to talk about sin.
The sins of men have been the cause of the death of Jesus Christ. Every sin bears an intimate and mysterious relationship to the passion of Jesus. We will recognize the evil of sin only if we know how to relate it to the mystery of the redemption.
And when we stop relating sin to the mystery of redemption, we lose our sense of sin. The horror of sin is properly understood when we look at the cross. And when we stop looking at the cross and Jesus Christ, we kind of lose that sense of how bad sin really is. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that we all played a part in Jesus' passion. So if we want to do a little bit of math and all of a sudden just reduce it down to one person, let's say that one person is you. If you had been the only person in the entire world, Jesus Christ would have still given his life for you in that bloody manner on that cross. Properly understood, Jesus loves us as though we are the only person in the entire world. And so his passion, in a mysterious way, is offered not just in a general way for mankind. It's true, but it's also uniquely offered for you. And that's beautiful, but then we start to understand how terrible our sin is and how much it costs Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We can very well say, says the Curé d'Ars, that the passion which the Jews made Christ suffer was almost nothing compared with what Christians make him undergo with their insults of mortal sins. What horror there will be when Jesus Christ shows us the things for which we have abandoned him. What trash we will have preferred in exchange for so much good. I just feel like it's another good reminder that, you know, really that's what sin is. Sin has of absolutely no good value. And yet why are we so tempted? Why is it so luring and desirable? Ugh. I just want it to look ugly and make it look what it really truly is. Make me not want it because it's horrible.
Isn't that the sneaky thing of the devil, though? He takes what is evil and makes it look good. Mm-hmm. Just like in the garden, the apple looked pleasing and desirable to Adam and Eve. And he used what was good and twisted it and caused the downfall of mankind. Satan still does that. He takes what is good, twists it, and then causes us to fall. I think one thing is we're going to now shift and talk about how important it is to recognize venial sins in our life and so that we can confess our sin. But if we really want to ask or dispose our hearts to contrition, to be sorry for our sin, what can we do? The readings don't mention that today, but what we can do is meditate upon the passion of Christ and the way of the cross. And at the end of this video, I'm going to link to St. Alphonsus's Way of the Cross. In my opinion, it's just excellent. And if you take some time on a Friday, especially during Lent, you'll begin to see sin differently.
For when we do not struggle to avoid venial sins, or when there is not enough contrition for them, they damage the soul grievously. These venial sins make the soul insensitive to the inspirations and motions of the Holy Spirit. They weaken the life of grace and make the virtues more difficult to practice and incline one towards mortal sin. Okay, so I feel like this is important because for me, I feel like, you know, venial sin, I'm like, eh, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. You know, I'll just go to confession. But really, it's actually still very grievous to the heart of God. And like the author writes, it will eventually lead us to mortal sin.
I think a lukewarm attitude sometimes is, as long as I can uproot mortal sin, I'm okay. And we ignore this whole area of venial sin, whether that venial sin is intentional or maybe sort of accidental. We think, well, it's no big deal. It will weaken the life of grace within us. Mm-hmm. And it's always one step away from mortal sin. So we should not take this casual approach to venial sin. Otherwise, we'll end up a spiritual casualty.
Many pious souls, says a present-day author, are in an unfaithful state almost continuously as regards little things. They are impatient, hardly charitable in their thoughts, judgments, and words, false in their conversations and attitudes, slow and lax in their piety. They don't control themselves and are excessively frivolous in their language, or treat the good name of their neighbor lightly. They know their own defects and infidelities, and perhaps even accuse themselves in confession, but they do not seriously repent of them, nor do they make use of the means to avoid them in the future. They do not realize that each one of these imperfections is like a leaden weight that drags them down. They do not realize that they are beginning to think in a purely human way and to work only for human reasons, or that they habitually resist the inspirations of grace and misuse them.
Great point here is that we start thinking in a human way. And what is the human way of thinking? To compare ourselves to other humans. So we think, well, I'm doing pretty okay compared to the Karens down the street. And so then I'm doing good. But that the human way of thinking is not the way God wants us to think. He wants us to we're to have the mind of Christ. And so with that in mind, how do we think? Well, we compare ourselves not to the person down the street, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. We compare ourselves to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. That is the standard, not the neighbor, not our spouse, not it's God. And when we compare ourselves to God, we see we fall short. And it's important to realize this. This is not intended to be shaming. But if we can't recognize our weaknesses, how in the world can we confess them? Mm-hmm. I remember flipping through the channel one day and I saw my favorite theologian, Dr. Phil. He was yelling at someone and he said this, "You can't change what you do not acknowledge." And there's some conventional wisdom there. Unless we acknowledge that we have sin in our life and we can recognize it, not only recognize it, but realize it is a serious thing, whether it be mortal or venial, then how can we change? So this next part is also going to be a little poke in the heart to help recognize maybe there's things in our life that need changing.
To face up to this fight against venial sin in a determined way, one must recognize venial sin for what it is, an offense against God which delays and can prevent union with Him. One must call it by its name, without excuses, without reducing the transcendental importance it has for a soul truly wishing to go to God. Flashes of anger, promptings of envy or sensuality not immediately rejected, a desire to be the center of attention or attraction, not being concerned with anyone but oneself or with anything but our own interest, and losing the capacity for being interested in others. Acts of piety performed out of routine, with little attention and even less love. Inconsiderately rash and less than charitable judgments about others. These are not faults or mere imperfections, but venial sins.
So do you have anything coming to your mind? Can you relate with any of these things that were mentioned? If you can, praise God. That means the grace of God is working upon your heart and your conscience, moving you towards perfection. God is drawing you to Himself to recognize our weakness. Is actually something to rejoice in, because we can only see that in the light of God's grace. So not to despair, not to say, well, I'm such a terrible person. No, God is drawing you. If you could recognize weakness, sins, praise Him, because now you can go to Him and say, Lord, have mercy.
Mm-hmm. One thing that was mentioned a little bit earlier was just talking about the taking the means of removing the temptation, you know, even for venial sin. Like, do we really make an effort to remove things from our home? You know, get rid of those TV channels or even the device? Do we make serious acts to prevent us from falling into those temptations? I think the whole point here is that sin, venial and mortal, are very, very serious. And we can't just like, oh, have like sort of an easygoing mentality about it, because it really keeps us from the greatest thing, which is union with God.
Yeah. And I know that in our past videos, we talk about mortal sin. We say that completely removes the life of God from the soul. We lose sanctifying grace. It's true. It is true that it's more serious than venial sin. But because we say that, it doesn't mean that venial sin is not greatly harmful to the spiritual life, mm-hmm. because it is.
The saints have understood that a single sin, especially mortal, but venial too, is a disorder greater than any cataclysm which lays waste the natural world, for the goodness of grace in one single person is greater than the material good of the entire universe.
So this is a perspective check here. One venial sin is of greater disorder than one worldwide natural disaster. If I understand St. Thomas right, that's pretty remarkable. I never have thought of it that way. I don't know if you have. So if we find ourselves lacking contrition, what can we do? Once again, meditate upon the Passion of Jesus. The link at the end of this video, St. Alphonsus' Way of the Cross, it's excellent. We can also go to Our Lady. She's known by many different titles. One of those titles is Refuge of Sinners. So place your cold heart in the care and intercession of Mary and ask her to grant you the grace of a penitent heart. And she will. She will. So friends, with that, please pray the rosary with us. Link right up there. Comment below what stood out to you and why. And it's Friday, so we'll see you
Monday.
God bless, guys.